But tonight, we're looking at Mishnah 10 in the first chapter. Sholosh, the first, if you remember, the first step in the creation was Ruach, Ruach HaKodesh, the 22 letters. The second was Ruach Meiruach. Now we're at the third step. We have Mayim Meiruach, water from breath. Chokak v'chotzav, he carved and hewed behen with them. Toihu v'voihu, chaos and void. Refesh v'tit, mud and clay. Chokakon kimin aruko, he carved them like an array. Hitzivon kimin choyme, established them like a wall. Sivavon kimin ma'azivo, I've translated, he smoothed them like cement. V'yotzak aleim, v'yotzak mayim aleim, and he poured water over them. V'nasu ofar, and they became dust. Shenema, as it is written, to the snow be it said, become earth. So this is the third step, so to speak. Let's have a look at the psich. Achrei hisbiro inyan haruach, after giving us the analogy of the breath, b'moshel odem anoshim, and he describes the creation of the world using the analogy of somebody who breathes out, whose breath comes out of their mouth. So the Sefer Yetzirah continues using this paradigm. Now, when somebody blows into a sack or into a balloon, his breath splits into three parts. The heat of the breath of the mouth rises, and that is going to become what we will be learning is the element of fire. Idim v'tipei mayim, and then you have the vapor and the small droplets of water in the breath. Miskaptzim v'shkuim lamata b'chinas mayim, they gather and condense and fall to the bottom, if you can imagine this balloon, and they gather there as water, and that's the element of water. V'haruach, and the breath itself, mispashit u'memala, it goes, it spreads, it fills, u'mamtzi chola u'marchi v'hoylech, and it comprises the actual space, the air, of the balloon. Kein osa kodesh baruch hakavirol sos, to speak, this is what God does. Hoitzi b'neshima, he breathes out. Hevel mipiv. And this breath that comes out of the mouth of God, v'hi haruach miruach hamur b'mishnah tes, this is the spirit, the breath from breath that we mentioned, we talked about in the ninth Mishnah last week. Originally there was the Ruach HaKodesh, there was the beginning of breath, but that breath is, as it were, still inside the lungs, inside the breast of the person who is about to breathe out. And then the second step was Ruach Meiruach, so God actually breathes out. Here, we're talking about what happens to the breath, and that breath is what constitutes space, all time and space. And if we want to ask ourselves why the Sefer Yetzirah uses this analogy, it's simple, because we wanted to imagine how something that is not God can exist. Since God exists, therefore God is infinite, therefore God is everywhere. There is no space outside other than. And so we used this analogy that God, so to speak, breathes out, and in doing so creates space outside of himself, that has also the capability of breathing itself back in. So there's the breath that was inside God is now outside God, so that makes a place other than. It's a very useful analogy. V'achshav, now kishin'ayin ala ruach, if we examine this breath, niraboy plus, we see some really wonderful things. Ki b'mishnah zu, in this Mishnah, bo'al hezbe ha'mayim, in this Mishnah we're really going to be looking at water. V'ho'ofa shitolus ha'mayim, and earth or dust, which is the consequence or a byproduct of water. And as we've mentioned already before, the in the Sefer Yetzirah, there is the construct, the skeleton on which the world is based, is not of four elements. We find four elements in Jewish literature, and especially, you know, in the Kabbalistic literature, but not, very importantly, not in Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah, there are three elements. The air, there's air, fire, and water, and from water, we have a toldah, we have a byproduct, as we're going to be learning. And it's from water that man is created. Bishnei Yitzrov, with his two desires, the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Ra. And here, if you have a look in note 113, the word Yetzirah is really used for the first time. It says, Vayitzir Hashem es Ha'odam, God formed the man. And the word Vayitzir is written with two yuds. And the Gemara says that's because the man has two Yetzer. So the word Yetzer, which we understand as desire, you have Yetzer Toiv and Yetzer Ra, the good desire, the bad desire, is cognate with the word Yetzira, which is, I've mentioned a few times, the reason this Sefer is called Sefer Yetzirah is because it deals with how desire is really the force that flows through the universe. The letter Yud in the name of God, Yud Hevavhe, is the sphere of Chachma. And here we are in fact referring to the sphere of Chachma. Because water and Chachma are, if we imagine the tree, we have three columns. The top of the center column is Keter, the bottom is Malchut. On the right-hand side we have Chochma, underneath it Chesed and Netzach. On the left-hand side we have Bina, underneath it Gevura and Hoid. The right side of the tree is associated with water, and the left side of the tree is associated with fire. And the middle of the tree is associated with air. So here we are looking at the sphere of Chochma. And if we look at a person, most of the person is water. Ki rubu derubu mayim. Umei ha'ofa atzma shememena nolesh ha'odem. If we look at the actual stuff from which a person is created, lo yiboyim lo yishna yitzrim o yafili yetze echad. It's the desires that are in us do not come from those parts of us that are made of minerals or earth. All our desires come from the Yisoid Hamayim, from the element of water. A person cannot worship God with that part of him which is earth. And let's have a look at note 114. Because earth applies to the serpent. As we learn in the Torah, God says to the snake, you're gonna crawl on your belly and you're gonna eat earth all your life. And the Kisvei Ari, in the writings of the Ari, says like this, Yisoida Ofar, the element of earth, Mimenu Midas Atzus B'chol Protov, it's where does earth manifest in us? That is in our depression. We told the Seo Achas, and what is it that earth gives birth to? Vihihu atzlus likaim atayr mitzvus, it's sloth, inertia. Mipnei etz boino el asugus kinyona helva el oilam, whether it's because the depression has come about through anger, because you can't get what you want. Oyal yisurim obolav, amboim olav, or whether we're depressed because we're angry at the pain that we're in. Ve'en sameach b'chalkei b'shem dovah, and we cannot achieve a state of joy in any way. Gam einoy letiz ba'osha, and the truth is, you know, that we can be greedy also, you know, and that can be a source of our depression. And that's, so the Ari says, and this is something that everybody agrees on, and we'll be looking at it later, that from earth that doesn't come any form of worship, because worship depends on desire. You have to desire. You have to really long for God in order to feel like worshiping God. And those, the desires and everything are associated with water. Even to worship God, let's say somebody says, you know, I'm going to worship God by not doing anything bad. You know, I'm just going to pretend I'm too lazy to do anything bad. I'm too lazy to get up and break Shabbos. I'm too lazy to cook some ham and eggs and so on. And I'm going to worship God with that part of me that is slothful and inert, right? The depressed part of me. You can't. Because the depression and the inertia and that, you know, that sloth, they damage one's faith. And we're going to be talking more about that later. There's no way of fixing depression and sloth and inertia except with joy. With passion. Because that part of us which is the earth just cannot lift itself up. Because joy and passion, they come from the element of fire in us, as we're going to see. So passion and joy, you know, they, if you could add them to earth, yeah, you know, you can worship with them, but then you also need to add the longing, the cheshek, the desire. And this is fire and water. So if we go back to our text, we were at the footnote 114. When we talk about water in the context of our Mishnah, we have passed away from the idea of air or ruach, breath, and we're now talking about something that is physical, that you can touch. And if we're going to look at the essence of the characteristic of water, as opposed to the characteristic of fire, water in Kabbalah and water in, I guess, in kind of nature too, it's a preservative. It stays. It wants to gather. It sort of gathers in the lowest spot, and it stays there, right? Whereas fire, its oifi is always to change and to be changed. Okay, let's look at the Mishnah. Mishnah Tes. Sholosh. 3. Mayim meruach. Water from breath. Chokak v'chotzav. He carved and hewed bohen with them toyu v'voyu. Chaos and void. Refesh v'tit. Mud and clay. Chokakon kimin aruko. He carved them like an array. Heitzivon kimin choyim. Established them like a wall. Zivavon kimin mazivo. He smoothed them like cement. Yotzak mayim aleim, and poured water over them, venasu ofa, and they became dust. Shenem, as it is said, ki l'shele geyome, to the snow be it said, have they oretz become earth. So let's have a look at the footnotes. Sholosh, 3. Ki iru omash ha-sfira shlishis, is telling us that the third sefira, his sefira chochma, it is the Sefira of Chachma. We said the first one was Keter, the second was Malchut, that was Ruach, was the first one, Ruach HaKodesh, and then there was Ruach Meiruach. Now, the third step is Mayim, water, and we associate this with the Sefira of Chachma. Sham Yisoidu Bosses V'Kisei L'Shnei Ayitzrim, and there in the Sefira of Chachma we find the throne, the basis, the foundation for the two desires, Yetzer Tov v'Yetzer Ra, the good desire and the evil desire. V'hi Soid Hamayim, and this is the reason. If you look at the word water in English you have a concept of waters. But even in English, the word water doesn't mean a molecule of H2O, right? It means many. And in Hebrew, the word mayim is a plural word. There is no singular word meaning a water. But the word water itself is a plural word. Kfula maim rabim umid rabim shnaim, because it's a plural word, the minimum of plurality is two. Vehemu alyoinim vehatachtoinim, and these are the upper waters and the lower waters that are referred to in Genesis, about which we will be talking. And they hint at cheshek, desire, good desire, and bad desire. Mayim meruach. So the second step is water from breath. Mayim roim is letaven, as we've said many times, especially when we were learning the Mehashiloyach, from which this idea is really built, that water is a metaphor for desire. Ki atav rishoyne murgish l'chol berim, because the first desire that all creatures experience, ben goda ben kotem, whether they're great or small, ki atzimoyne, this is the thirst. And as I was looking at this today, I asked myself, I wonder, you know, I mean, this may be true of land animals, but what is a fish? How does a fish, what is a fish's desire, huh? It occurred to me that I've made a broad statement that the first desire is thirst, but is it really? Or is it just land mammals? So I guess we'll stick to land creatures. And this is something that we have in common with everything that breathes. As soon as we are out into the world, we are struck with the desire for drink. And even though it's true, the need to breathe comes first, just as we have breath being the first of the steps in our Mishnah, the first and the last sphere, Ruach, and then Ruach Meiruch. In Kol Zeh, nevertheless, Hashi'ifa L'Ruach V'Ruchnius, if we look at the desire for breath, it can be fooled, right? I can breathe something that doesn't have sufficient oxygen, and I will breathe it like crazy and asphyxiate for lack of oxygen. And the same is true for spirituality in general, that it's very easy to confuse a desire for what we would call something spiritual, and many people in the world, and myself included, have often been fooled into thinking something is a desire for something spiritual, and then, you know, chase it to discover that I was deluded, mistaken. But hunger and thirst, they are there in the gut as a feeling, and it's so clear that you can't argue with it what it is. When you're thirsty, you know you're thirsty. And it's different with the desire for spiritual things. It's possible to mistake them or to mix them or to confuse them with one another, as we explained in the previous Mishnah. Because in the Ruach, in the breath, all the 22 letters all mixed up without any kind of order, in total chaos. And so in the sephira that is associated with Ruach, which is Malchut, there the desires are not clear and distinguishable from one another. But here in our Mishnah, they are clear. Mayim, it's water. Mehoruach, from that spirit, from that breath. And the waters gather. The molecules of water are not always repelling each other the way that molecules of a gas are repelling each other. And it gathers and sticks together. And that, in what do we call that gathering? We call it a mikveh, which is a mikveh is a gathering of hope. Hope for what? Well, in a spiritual sense, it's the hope to quench our thirst, our spiritual thirst. And it's as though the Mishnah had said that once the water from the breath, God breathes out And the three elements appear once water comes out into the world. So then we have the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Ra, we have desires in the world. Note 117. Chokak v'chotzav behem, God carved and hewed with them. Shtei b'chinois, and these are the two aspects that we mentioned earlier in Mishnah 9. On the one hand, you have chakika, carving. It's important. The shape of the carving is going to be very important. And so, when we talk about chakika, carving, we're referring to something very definite and specialized, and those are the desires that we're going to be learning about later. And then the second thing is God hewed with them. And hewing, we said, is when you remove siluk choymer upinoy mokum, when you remove the mass, you remove the material, and you're just making space. So the carving of this material is immaterial, right? It's not important how you remove. What is important is that you get left with a hole, that you remove the material, and then you're going to use the hole as a vessel to put something in. So there, the carving is not important. So this hints at void as opposed to tohu, chaos. Shikamoyacholo, because the void is the space, the empty space, mokuponu, and that place inside us, boimurgesh hatava, where the desire is experienced. Note 118, bohen, with them, hainu, behamayim atzmam. The word bohen also means in them. In the water, God carves. In the desires, God carves chaos and void. Note 119, tohu, we see is chaos. Mashma maha gemora, bekama duchtin, and from the gemora in many places, it appears that the Talmudic sages understood chaos as a reference to certain kinds of desires. Kedeisa, we learn b'machlokes b'sham and b'shillel. There's a machlokes, it occurs again quite a number of times in the Talmud. So let's say you have partners, two business partners, and they acquire a slave, a Canaanite slave. They may actually be two brothers, right, who've inherited a slave. Not a Jewish slave, a non-Jewish slave. So even non-Jewish slaves have to keep Shabbos, even non-Jewish slaves, the men have to be circumcised and, you know, have to practice at least the rudiments of Judaism, right? So now, a Canaanite slave can be married to a Canaanite slave woman, but a Canaanite slave cannot be married to a free Jewish woman. And the same thing is with the Canaanite maidservant. She can be married to a Canaanite slave, but not to a Jewish man who's a free man. So now let's see what happens when one of these business partners frees his slave for one reason or another. He needed a minion, right? So he said, oh, you're a slave, let's make you a free man. You can. So now, what do we do? So Beis Hillel says, this man, he works for himself half the week, right? So 3 days of the week he'll work and he can do whatever he wants, and the money that he makes belongs to him. And for 3 days of the week he'll have to work for his former master, who's still his master, right? And whatever he earns during that time belongs to his master. So Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, that's all very nice, you fixed things up very nice for the master, right? But what have you done for the slave here? Let's look at his life, right? As atzmoi loy tikantim. Amru Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, tikantim is rabbi, you fix the master. As atzmoi loy tikantim. Lisa shivra, to marry a maidservant, en yochel, he cannot. Shekva chetze b'achoyen, because he's half a free man, and he's not no longer permitted to marry a slave maidservant. Lisa baschoyin, to marry a free woman, any yochel, he can't. Why? Shadain chetziv eved, he's still half a slave. Yevatel, so you tell him, all right, so let him not get married, big deal. The whole reason that the world is created is for people to be creative, procreative, and multiply. Shanam, as it is written, Loi tohu bara, the world is not created. In chaos, Lo shevas yitzar, God formed the world to be settled. Elo mipnei tikkun olam, this is Shammai's psak, halacha, in order to fix the world. Koyfin es rabbi, we force his master, v'oisoisim ben cherin, he has to give him a bill of manumission, right? He has to free the slave. V'koysev shtar achatzidomav, and the slave, we oblige him to then work to pay off the amount that he was valued, or rather half, because he already belonged half to himself. And so over the next period of time, he'll pay back his former master for his value, but now he's a completely free man, and he can marry a Jewish woman, and that is the purpose of the world, because not being married is called tohu, chaos. So the Talmud tells us that Beis Hillel, the school of Hillel, changed their psak halacha, and they decided that Shammai is correct, and that is the proper halacha. So we see that the word tohu is associated with primal desire. Uvoihu, note 121, Pirish kemashmo'oi boihu, there is something in it. Lohuvin in yonoi, to understand what that means, everybody, every human being can describe what it feels to have that feeling of desire inside, which feels like an empty space. And it doesn't matter whether it's like a hunger burning inside you or thirst for water. When you've got a thirst that you can put your finger on and say, this is what I'm feeling, you know, that is associated with toihu. But the boihu is when you have a feeling that you can't put your finger on. An empty space. It's not hunger, it's not thirst, it's not loneliness, it's not, what is it? It's the feeling of emptiness. It's the void. So chaos is associated with the desire you can put your name to, and boihu is associated with the desire that you can't put your name to. And that is just the experience, the feeling of what we call the God-shaped hole. It is just the sensation of an emptiness inside. Usually, I know for myself, I experience it in my stomach. Hergesh reikonus is an experience of emptiness, v'chesoron, and lack, v'ho'efes, and a nothing. These two that we call toihu v'voihu, the named desire and the unnameable desire, these are what God created using water. And one was chakika, one was carving, and that is the sensation of toihu. And one is chatziva, which is hewing out an empty space, which is the feeling of boihu. Refesh v'tit. Now, something else God created with water, and that is mud and clay. And the expression refesh v'tit comes from a pasuk in Yeshayahu. We're now on number 121. Yigrushu meimav, it talks about the wicked. The wicked are like the waters, troubled sea waters that is constantly flowing and pounding, and just waves one after the other. V'yigrushu meimav refesh v'tit, and that the sea is constantly throwing up sand and mud on the seashore. U'pirish refesh haynu mayim shesh ben irvuv ofor v'avonim kitanim she'ef shel aroysim mikeli likeli. The technical definition between mud and clay is that mud has tiny, tiny stones in it, and sand and dust or whatever, and it's mixed with water, and you can pour it, even if it's viscous, you can pour it from vessel to vessel. That's the definition of mud, whereas tit, which is clay, is lumpy. There's either the stones in it or bigger, and even though it's mixed with water, einem zogim, it doesn't flow. Ki ovim et vukim hem, because it's thick. Upirish ha-posuk. So now we can see what the verse means when it says, v'harishoim ki yom nigrish, and the wicked are like the troubled sea. Ki hashkid lo yuchal, because they just don't have any quiet. Shetavis odem nigrurim k'moy galay ayom, because the desires of everybody's desires, they just follow one another like the waves of the sea. Echad oyve v'asheni nimshach, one passes and then there's immediately another one that follows it. B'li hefsik, it doesn't stop. V'chenu etzel shatzadik gamken, it's not just that it's with a wicked person that it's like that, with a righteous person that it's like that too. Shiritzoinoisov, a person's desires, v'cheshkoi v'cheftzim, misgabrin, they just get stronger and they keep on building. V'yachlifu koyach, and they give one another strength. Ya'alu mechayel el chayel, and they go, and they climb higher and higher. V'hachilik sheyesh bin tzadik l'rosh, the difference between a wicked person and a righteous person, yushibohoroshu ta'avois of miskarerin, that with a wicked person, his desires, they cool off. Ad sheyotzim em kol hachayis, until all the life that's in the desire leaves. V'hachoyim, and the passion and the heat. V'nikroshim v'nasim kerach, and then metaphorically, these waters of desire become cold and become ice. V'chinas ofer refesh v'tit, which is what the Torah is talking about, and especially what the Mishnah here is talking about when we talk about the lumps, the solids that are to be found in the water. What are the solids that are to be found in the water? K'moshe Pirush Rashi, like Rashi there in the verse in Yeshayah says, K'yam nigrash hayam azeh, this sea, galov misgeim neroim lemala, its waves just climb really high. Ulatzeis chutz l'gvul, and they look like they're going to, you know, the huge waves look like they're going to overpower the seashore. Ashesamti gvul ayom, which God has put there as a boundary. Kashemagi asham, and when the wave reaches the shore, even though it looks so powerful, unishba al kochei, it is broken against its will. Because then all this gal chaveri royeth, this wave coming behind him, he saw how his predecessor like got smashed on. Ve'ena choizaboy. So Rashi sees the metaphor of the troubled sea and the waves and stuff like the wicked. Like you went through this once before. You hurt yourself, you know, cast yourself on the shore, you got broken, and now here you come again and you do the same thing over again. Ve'ein Rudak, besides the commentary of Rashi there's also Reb David Kimchi's interpretation. Upirish kiyam nigrash, he says, like the water, like the troubled waters, like the troubled seas, k'moy ayam shel nigrash al ha'sofa kol rega v'rega, like the water that gets dragged onto the sand every minute, ki hashkid l'yuchav, because it just can't rest. L'yom v'gala chagal l'oilam, and so the wave follows wave, l'yonuach v'boya al ha'sofa, but then when it actually gets to the shore, yigrushu meim avrem shmutit, what does it throw up? It doesn't just throw up water. It drags with it some of the bottom of the sea, from the sea floor, the sand and the stones. For some reason, the Mechaber of the Sefer Yetzirah, the author of Sefer Yetzirah, is using that metaphor to describe how water, see, in the Sefer Yetzirah we don't have four elements really, right? So where does the element of earth, what is it, right? So if we say that everything that exists in the world really is a product of water, that water is essentially the physicality of the world, and that's how we've interpreted that really the world is created at God's desire, that the simple desire is what forms the world, and therefore that desire is going to be manifest, and we talked about the Yetzer Tov, the Yetzer Ra, the Sphira of Chochmah, these the two desires, and therefore the water that represents these desires is the actual physicality of the world. Okay, so now we have to Sefer Tzira is also like a technical manual of physics. Like, how does the water become earth? And this is what the Sefer Tzira here in this Mishnah is trying to describe. So, Lahovin Ho'inyan, in order to understand what's going on, Nagdim Adi'isim Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Let's have a look at a medrash from the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Pirk Yud. And this is what the Medrash says. B'sho'o Rishoino, in the first hour, meaning Friday morning, in the story of the creation of the world, on the sixth day of creation. Hutzpa Afro Shel Odom Rishoin, the dust from which Odom is going to be made is gathered and made into a little pile. B'shdiyo, in the second hour of the day, Gobloy, God kneaded this dough, mixed it with whatever, sugar and spice and all things nice, and kneaded it into like a dough. Bashlishis, in the third hour, Rikmoy, God fabricated the body using this dough made from the dust. Berevius, in the fourth hour, Nizrikuboy Neshoma, soul was injected into this corpus. B'chamishis, in the fifth hour, kom al raglav, Adam Rishon got up on his feet. B'shishis, in the sixth hour, koro shemois, he named all the creatures of the world, and he recognized and he knew them. B'shvius, in the seventh hour, nizdamne lechava, chava, and Adam and Rishon got together. God put him to sleep, took Chava from a rib in his side, and they got together. Bashminis, in the eighth hour, Nitztavu, they were commanded, Al Peros, about the fruits of the trees, that they're allowed to eat from all the trees, except for that one tree of knowledge of good and evil. Bachias, in the ninth hour, Olu Lemito, they went to bed, Shnayim, the two of them, V'yordu Arbo, and they got out of bed 20 minutes later, and Chava had two sons, Cain and Hevel. V'asiris, in the tenth hour, Ova al Tzivuyoi, Adam Harishoin, transgressed the commandment against eating from the tree of knowledge. V'achadosa, in the 11th hour, Nidoin, he was judged, and God told him what he told him. Bishneimosa, in the 12th hour, Nizgarish, he was divorced and expelled from the Garden of Eden. Shenemaz, it is written, Vayigorish is Adam, and God expelled, or Vayigorish is actually divorced the man. That's the Medrash. Shemashikusavetz lo demarishin Vayigorish, so the word Vayigorish, Udoimil Apostle B'Yishaya, it's very similar to the verse in Yeshaya, Vayigroish Meimov Refesh Putit, and its waters threw up or dragged with them this mud and clay. And in fact, the two words are identical. Kigrushas Odom Arishon Oso Refesh Putit, because the expulsion of Odom Arishon from the Garden of Eden created a really deep depression. The Medrash, we learn in the Gemara, in the Medrash, the Sforim, after he was expelled from the Garden of Eden, Adam sat in the river up to his nose in water for 130 years. Shepirish Mechava, that he was separated from his wife, and instead of giving birth to children, he gave birth to spirits and demons, which are like refesh putit. And we're going to understand that this medrash about Adam being separated from Chava for 130 years, this is a theme in rabbinic, in medrash about the 130 years. In fact, there is so much in the Torah that is connected to that 130 years and the fixing of the split, really, of the wound, that came between Adam and Chava when they were separated for so long, and all the love that they should have given one another is wasted, and all these souls that should have been born are then unborn and then have to be reborn. And it's a very interesting medicine. As Sefer Yetzirah progresses, we're going to be looking at it again. Shebo loy tavis be'etzvoyu batzlusoy, because Adam HaRishon still had desires, right? But he's depressed. He has no joy. He's living without Chava. So what happens to the desires when you don't have joy? When you have, that is what the Mishnah here is talking about, that from the water, which is the desire, right? Adam is sitting in the river, right? Which is a metaphor for the desire that he's sitting in. And instead of being with Chava, really, what is Adam doing? He's masturbating. So all the desire for Chava just cools off and really it kind of freezes and dies. And perhaps I want to say that the source for that medrash that Adam was separated from Chava and gave birth to these demons and spirits actually comes because the Chachamim made a connection between the verse of Vayigarish Adam, that God expels the Adam from the Garden of Eden, and that pasuk in Yeshaya that the wicked are like the troubled sea, Vayigrishu meim of refesh v'tit, and the waters drag up these stones and mud and clay. We're going to see that the medrash of Adam HaRishon and the hours of his creation are right here in our Mishnah. Because when water cools down, it starts to freeze. It means that the heat and the passion has left them. And even they can cool down so much that they don't even have any motion at all, and like all the desire is gone from the desire. What does it mean, all the desire is gone from the desire? That a person is acting like they have desire, but they don't really, right? It's all happening inside the head. A desire that should be in the body, like for instance the desire for sex, right? It's just an experience in the body, right? But Adam HaRishon is like, he's not having sex, right? It's like in his head. It's desire that doesn't really have desire. So the Mayim has frozen and has become dead. V'nikfoim v'nasim kerach v'shelig, and then becomes ice and snow. Let's look at note 122. Chokakon kimin arugo. He carved them like an array. The word arugo, we find in the Shir HaShirim, L'choyev karugas haboisem, his cheeks are like an aruga, refers to like a garden that has been planted in really, you know, set out in rows. Not just being allowed to, you know, to grow naturally, but set up, being planted, right? It's called an aruga, and the minimum of an aruga is 6 tefachim al 6 tefachim, 6 hand. That's 24 inches by 24 inches. Kedisim sech to climb, as we learn in the Mishnah. And perhaps the Mishnah chose the word arugo, this array, because the word arugo also means desire. Kayol targa lafike moim, kenashi targa elecho, like the stag that longs upon the rivers of water, so my heart longs for you, the word Nafshi ke nafshi taroig, we have it in Alim Zemiris, and it means desire and longing. And so the one of the points that I'm trying to make is that almost every word in this Mishnah, whether it's toihu, voihu, whether it's refesh v'tit, or whether it's talking about arugo, that each of these words is associated with desire in one form or another. And so Chokakon kimin aruga, God made them like an array. This corresponds to the Medrash in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, where it talked about that for the first hour, chutzpah afroi, God gathers the dust, and that's the meaning of chakikon kimin adruko. Heitzivon kimin choymo, and then God set them up as a wall, established them as a wall, the waters. Where do we find the first time the word wall? In the Torah it says, v'hamayim lem choymo, and the waters were for them a wall, miminam im smoylam, when we were going through the Red Sea. And perhaps he chose this word choyma wall, sheknesis Yisrael omeres ani choyma, because the Jewish people say again in Shir HaShirim ani choyma v'shodek hamigdolos, I am a wall, and it refers to the fact that we only desire God. God says, are you a wall or are you a door? Are you fixed in place or are you wishy-washy? Are you going both ways or are you like fixed? And she says, ani choyma, I'm a wall. And corresponding to this is the second hour, b'shor shliya gobloi, in the second hour God kneads this dough, and the word gobal, to knead, is cognate with the word gvulin, to make boundaries like a wall. Note 124, sivvon kimin mazivo, and he smoothed them like cement. And the source of the word mazivo we find in the Nehemia, where it says, and when they returned to Jerusalem after the first exile from Babylon, they cemented the wall, they cemented the city to strengthen it. We find in the Mishnah many times where it talks about cementing a ceiling, or laying a floor, and it's talking, you know, you take some kind of material that's wet and then you smooth it and then it dries and it becomes hard. And Rashi says, Vayazvus Yerushalayim, he says that they filled the wall, that the wall was made of stones, and then they filled it with earth and smoothed it down in order to give the wall more mass and strengthen it. So I want to say that he chose the word mazivo because it can also mean something else. We have in the Torah, it says, and if you're walking down the road and you see your enemy, he has a donkey and the donkey is crouching underneath this burden and you know, it's too heavy, and you want to turn away and say, well, it's not my business, he's my enemy. It's no, and the Torah says, you shall surely help him and you shall surely lend a hand there to unload the donkey from its burden. So the word is ozoiv tazoiv, which sometimes we translate as to abandon. Shapirish loshen ezaviritzoi, but the word ozoiv can also, I mean, in that context it means to help. And even though you hate this guy, nevertheless, the Torah demands of you that you help him, because his animal is underneath this horrible burden and is being crushed, right? So you have to change, you have to adapt. You're going to have to go along and do something for this person. And so we find in the Torah it says, v'ofes, and that they're gone, otzur v'ozuv. There is no one either who is otsu, which means stopped or shut up, or azuv, somebody who is free. And there's nobody to help you. So the word azuv there means free. So when we talk about cementing, we're talking about joining, we're talking about helping. So the word mazivo has these different roots. It also means to free. So God takes the waters and smooths them like cement. And we said that this is the third hour, where we said Rikmoy, God fabricates the person. And the word Rikmo we usually associate with the kind of embroidery that puts a face or a design on both sides. V'yotzak Mayim, note 125, V'yotzak Mayim Aleim V'nasu Ofer, And God poured water over them, and they became dust. God pours water onto the mud and clay, and it becomes dust. Where do we find the word yotzak, to pour? It says they were looking, the king says, you know, aren't there any prophets who can advise me? And they said, oh yeah, there's a guy here, there's Elisha. Here's Elisha ben Shofat. He used to pour water on Elijah the prophet's hands, and he's a great prophet, and he'll be able to answer. So there we find the word yotzak, to pour. And maybe the reason that the word v'yotzak is chosen here is ki lefa'omim mishtamish gam loshon tzuko, because the word yotzak can also be used in another way. And here I refer to the Malbim's commentary to Yeshaya, and he says tzuko, sometimes the word tzuko means hatzokas hanefesh la'odam ad shemoyes b'chayv. Sometimes a person just gets fed up. V'yimtzo tzuko b'loy tzor, and you can have anguish without any kind of pain, right? Sometimes it's an existential crisis a person is having. That's called tzuko. Sometimes a person just rejects himself, right? I just feel bad. Why? Are you short of money? No. You hungry? No. You have friendship and love? Yeah. So why are you feeling bad? I just feel bad, right? And the Malbim uses this phrase from Yeshaya, and his spirit inside him, it's like a troubled sea. And this imaginary sea looks and feels like it's going to drown him. Laharishes shloimoy al loidor, for no reason at all. V'iskaptzu olav kolish motzuk, and he brings another verse where it talks about an all anguished people, and he uses the word matzuk again. Ulu'uma zeh, so v'yutzak mayim aleihem, doesn't just mean that God poured waters over them, but God takes away the desire for living from them. Ulumazer Bishorviasum in the fourth hour, Nizrikubu Neshoma. So the God injects a neshoma into Odom. Sheafroi Higia Letachlis Shlimus Bitsuras Odom Arishin, because now Odom Arishin is whole in the sense that an animal is whole, but for a human being that's not enough. That's the greatest anguish a human being could have, is to find themselves alive like an animal. He needs a neshoma, otherwise we can't go on. And this is chain of being. And I think we'll stop here.